Rabbi says, similar matesiv ches, any kachin la minamum ches, shiboki bechaseus, veyeseus, continuing the halachas of purchasing the tefillin, you've got to make sure that any kachin, you only purchase tefillin, la minamum ches from an expert, shiboki bechaseus, veyeseus, who is an expert and understands the letters which have been added or have to be omitted. So, a person, in other words, a sofer needs to know exactly how to write the sefer Torah, has to be an expert. You only buy off an expert who knows what he's talking about. You see, if test teaches us the following halachah, what happens if you buy tefillin of somebody who's not an expert? You must check them. So if you buy tefillin of somebody that's not necessarily a great expert, he says openly, I'm not a great expert, I wrote those tefillin, so you can buy it, but you've got to check it. So give those that mezuzah that you bought of somebody that is not an expert, and bring it to somebody who is an expert. Say, could you mind to check if it's okay?
How do you know it's not been erased?
Very good. So, absolutely. It's a good question. It's a really good question. I suppose we are assuming that the answer to your question is as follows. That this person may not be an expert, but we are referring to somebody that we assume that he's a Yesh Shamayim. So you don't think that he's lying or cheated. He may just not be an expert. He may therefore make mistakes. So, he may make mistakes, but he's not going to lie to you that he erased it. Okay? So, if he bought 100 pieces of mezuzah of that individual, 100, he checks 3 ktzitzos, 3 tefillin of this individual. He bought 100, he checks 3. Shtaim shel rosh ve'achas shel yad, he checks 2 tefillin shel rosh, 1 Tefillin shel yad, or shtayim shel yad ve'ach shel rosh. Alternatively, 2 shel yad and 1 shel rosh. Now he's checked 3. Imatzon kasherim. If they turn out all those 3 that he has checked out of the 100, he checked and turned out to be kosher. Huch zegzed is a chazaka now. And I never know how to translate what's chazaka in English. It's not really an assumption.
Established presumption.
Okay. Okay, so now there's an established presumption that Harukulam Ksherim, that all of them are considered kosher now. We can assume that they're all kosher. Ve'ein ha'shal tzorech bedikah, and the remaining 97 do not require further checking. Im lakhon tzvosim tzvosim, if he took several piles from various soichim, then cheskosim al noshim harbeim lekuchim. If you took from numerous people, lefich boitek mikol tzeves shnayim shel rosh ve'achas shel yad, or shtayim shel yad ve'achas shel rosh. So if you're taking bundles from numerous soichim, so you've got to check each bundle individually. So those 3 will not help you for the other sets, obviously, because you've bought from numerous people. If a person says that these have been written by a gadol, by an established Yesh Shamayim, a gadol, a chosh ve'id, neman is belief, and do not require further b'dika. So we're learning over here the percentage of, we're learning over here 3%. 3% is really what you need. Once you've established 3% are kosher, the rest 97 don't require further checking, further b'dika. But the last halacha is that it's interesting that if you're buying off a random person who looks like more or less like honest and genuine, etc., he says, listen, I didn't write them, but you know who wrote them? The Heilige Epshaya Moshe, I don't know, wrote them, or he says, I got this film from, this film written by Abraham Kanievsky himself, Zichron Livracha. And so he's believed to say that. A person who's got generally a certain scent, a certain, he's like, generally, you can assume that he's telling the truth and he's an honest guy. You can assume that if he says they come from a very reliable place, you can rely on him, you can trust him.
It's 3%.
3%. Very interesting. It's a very interesting question. It's a really interesting question because it sounds like it's a percentage. He says 3 out of 100. Yeah, 3 out of 100 make a chazaka. It's not the 3. It doesn't sound like it, because if it would be, as you're saying, I think that's what it, that's how I learned. That's what it sounds like. There is an interesting question which Moshe discussed, which is the following shayla, Rabbosai, not about buying, but about selling. A question was asked to Moshe Feinstein about selling a Sefer Torah. Now, Rav Moshe was asked by Elicha from Yerushalayim Sofer. He was approached by a conservative, or I think even less. Liberal reform. For Sefer Torah. And he didn't know I wrote the Sefer Torah. You know, he makes a Sefer Torah sold for how much? Sefer costs there's the cheap ones. They go up 50,000-70,000 pounds. And it's a good. Can he sell his Sefer Torah to a shul of that sort? Can he sell it? Can he, what would you say? Can you not? Can you sell a Sefer Torah to a Masorti shul? No. Why?
Because no, they would misuse it.
What are they going to do with it?
It doesn't feel right, anyway.
Wrong
people be called out, disrespect to it.
So it's fascinating Tshuva Moshe. Moshe says like this. Moshe says that assuming that when they read, they read it okay, they don't do anything particularly disrespectful. Assuming that they're reading, that the Kiyas HaTorah looks more or less normal. Assuming. And Moshe says, if it's a brand new Sefer Torah, then you can do that. It sounds ironic, but if it's not a brand new Sefer Torah, say you've got a Sefer Torah which you go from one shul, you're passing it on now. You know, sometimes Sefer Torah are used and they're passed on to other shuls. If it's a used Sefer Torah, however, you can't pass it on to the conservatives. Why?
It's going down.
Isn't that fascinating? A new Sefer Torah, a brand new Sefer Torah, you can sell on. Sell on. It says, you know, it's okay. They're going to use it. It's fine.
It's going down.
It's not going down because it's never been used.
But by default, it's going down. Because
why?
Sefer Torah is
just
holy, and you're giving it to an establishment.
Which has got, yeah. I hear your argument. He somehow feels that since it's never been used, it hasn't got really, I hear what you're saying. You say that it's actually, what you're saying is that it's husman, it's as if it's like designated for Kedusha, and instead of giving it to Kedusha, I'm giving it to a lower level. He said it feels wrong. The Master Moshe says a new Sefer Torah can be sold. Oh, really? Really? That's interesting. They're never going to buy the second hand. Right. Okay, so that's probably the background of Moshe Shaila then. That's interesting. Like what? Mixed Minyanim. And when we be called up, yeah. Yeah, so I suppose that would be a problem then, I call it Moshe, yeah. Yeah, that would be a problem, yeah. 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 Why not to lower the Kedusha? These halachas will be discussed. Mitzvah Hashem still. These will be discussed. Not to go down in Kedusha of something which has got a level of Kedusha. But you're right. These halachas will be addressed later. Mitzvah Hashem. See, if Yud Rabbi Yisrael teaches us the following: Tefillin Shuch Sukkot Bekashus. Very, very important halacha. Very frequently asked. Perhaps one of the most frequently asked questions. Tefillin Shuch Sukkot Bekashus. What if you've got tefillin which has got, which you know they were kosher? Einam tzichim dikul olam, that do not need to be checked. It's one of the very, very often asked questions. We know that mezuzahs got to be checked twice in 7 years. It's halacha. You got to check the mezuzahs. Tefillin, which in a way we feel like also inclined to check. It's very often people ask, when do I need to check my tefillin? After a year, 5 years, twice in 7 years, 10 years, 20 years? The halacha is explicit. Tefillin shuch sukkot bekashus. If you know they were kosher at one point, einam tzichim dika. They do not need to be checked. La'olam. Forever. You don't need to check them. However, if they're only used occasionally, why would somebody only put on tefillin occasionally?
Got more than one set.
Yeah, he's got the Monday set and the Tuesday set. Yeah? Or he's got a few sets. Yeah, yeah. Or for somebody inherited tefillin from one's father, and then he sometimes puts those on. You know, he didn't put them every day. Tzrichim b'dika, they will require b'dika. Pamayim b'shavua, twice in 7 years. So, the reason why tefillin do not need bdika is because it never loses its chazaka. It's established or not. You can just, because every single day you're using it, so it never loses its chazaka. However, if you're not using it, then it's like a mezuzah, that it's, you know.
Wouldn't the svarah be the opposite? Right? Through using them, there's a certain degree of wear of that. There's more of a chance of wear and tear of that.
Very good. Says the Mishnah Berurah, exactly what you're pointing out. Sivkot n'chavav, le'oilam, always, ve'kol shekol zman shechipuyon sholem, as long as it is well covered and complete, harizeh b'cheskoson min adin etzkol chazokem. Ve'en choshishim, we don't suspect shemanim chokin ois metoichon, or nikva, we don't suspect that perhaps the letters inside it, fell out or popped out or got erased. We don't have that suspicion. We call mokim. It is right to check them. Nochan levotkum mipnei miskalklim mipnei azel when they sweat or when it got wet. So Rabbi said, what he's saying is as this: if there's any reason to suspect that something went wrong with the tefillin, such as they got wet. Extreme temperatures, wet, moisture, sweat. They got, for some reason, they got wet. These things can happen. Or they fell down, you knocked into the wall. Things can happen. The door fell right into the... These things can happen. Then, there's no more chazaka. Then, they must be checked. Internally, externally, they got to be checked. Chazaka is not there anymore because something happened since. But however, if nothing happens to the tefillin and you look after them, you put on the tefillin, you take them off, they're looked after, they're in safe places, they don't reach extreme heats, whether it's minus or whether it's plus, then there is a chazaka. They were kosher yesterday, they're kosher today, they're going to be kosher tomorrow. However, if it, at any point there's some significant change that may have occurred, it may have impacted the tefillin, they must be investigated, they must be checked. But it's true that a person can wear tefillin for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years without checking, that's totally fine.
That's totally fine.
Totally fine. There are minhagim. Some people do check the tefillin every now and then, but it does not really make a din. And I want to add the following point, which all the experts in tefillin, they are quick to point out. Our tefillin today, and I must have mentioned that in earlier shiurim as well, our tefillin today are miles, 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 miles ahead. You can't even compare. They're unparalleled in quality to our grandparents' tefillin. You can't compare. Because our grandparents' tefillin, they were dacos. They were made out of very thin leather. And they were soft, and they were small, and they were not very good quality. They were very vulnerable. They were quick to get damaged. Our tefillin are made out of gas. Absolutely, but they're very well protected. We've got much thicker. They're so square. They're nice. They're solid. They're good quality.
Today, better quality than the parshas of.
Yeah, because yes, the answer is yes. They certainly are because they are bigger, and bigger tefillin normally means better quality because it's easier to write bigger letters than tiny letters. Much easier. And therefore, our tefillin nowadays are considered much... And if it is very rare, it does happen, but it's very rare, that they open up the tefillin and they see a real problem. It does happen. I mean, we saw... Here's some... There were mezuzahs, but I'm saying... Tefillin, it does happen, but it's very, very rare. So one can comfortably continue wearing the tefillin. So they say that the minhagim that existed at one point to open up the tefillin some points in a person's life... These minigames may not be relevant nowadays anymore because the tefillin has so much more. But it may be. Yeah, the answer is because when you don't wear it, look at Mishnah Bosef Kotn Chovzain, Lifrogin Chashilon Shemon is Afshu, Lekach Yivdekem Shnei Pomim Beshmita, that we are concerned maybe they got, you wouldn't have noticed that something went wrong with it. Say they got wet and they dried and you wouldn't even notice it. If you're using it every day, you've got Chazoka, you're on top of it. However, if you're only wearing it every 6 months, it could be that it got wet at one point and it dried out and you wouldn't notice. So
if they're in like a bag inside a plastic,
The halacha is if it's used daily. I know, but the halacha is if it's used daily on top of it, and you can confirm there's a chazaka. This chazaka doesn't exist if it was out of your control and out of your sight for one. Finally, let's just finish off. If a person is in a place or in a situation that there's nobody that I can check the tefillin, he should carry on wearing them without tikkun. So don't say, oh, I couldn't check the tefillin, I'm not going to wear them. No. Even if you can't check the tefillin, you should still continue wearing them until you find the right person who can double check your tefillin. To summarize what we learned this evening, a person should only buy tefillin of somebody who knows what he's talking about. You should check with a mumche. We spoke about a 3% that makes a certain established chazaka. We discussed also that a tefillin don't have to be checked if they were kosher at one point, unless something happened or unless he wasn't worn for a bit. And we also spoke about that if a person is unable to check the tefillin, he should still continue wearing them until he can check them. Good Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.